This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, you can join the show here and bring up anything that you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We've been talking about Javier Milei. He is the Libertarian Party candidate in Argentina who won the primary, meaning he beat, with 30% of the vote, he beat the other two major parties. Libertarian Party, they're not a major party. Although, and when I say that, I just mean they're newer. They don't, presumably didn't have the support. At least they didn't think they had this level of support. But they did, turns out. There's a lot of people in Argentina who are interested, if not in the principles of liberty, certainly interested in change, certainly interested in seeing what this guy could bring to the table, which is apparently a bill to abolish the central bank, among other things. We can talk more about him coming up with you tonight. It's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Captain.
Let's go to the phones here. We do have on the line with us Skeeter in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Hello, free riders. Hey, I just wanted to talk about my reputation system, but I can't help but contribute to your conversation about the Libertarian Democratic Movement. So I have like
what's that?
Three
what's
quick
the Libertarian
statements.
Democratic Movement?
What you guys are talking about with Argentina?
I don't think they call themselves that.
Yeah, I've never heard that term before.
Well, if you parse it out, those words fit. Like, he's libertarian, it's a democratic movement.
Democratic is a word that has been used to describe many things, frequently mutually exclusive.
Well, I'm just referring to the voting process, so relax, buddy. Okay, so number one, if you guys like Russia or Argentina... okay, homie. If you guys like Russia or Argentina so much... What's that?
We're not your homie.
Okay, fine. If you guys like Russia or Argentina so much, why don't you guys just move there? Didn't Ukraine?
I might actually move to Argentina if it comes down to it. I mean, if Argentina actually turns into a libertarian, country in some way, shape, or form, then it would, I think, absolutely attract some of us over there.
Sure. I mean, the other countries that adopted cryptocurrency already attracted libertarian-minded cryptocurrency enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. So it stands to reason that's exactly
there?
What would happen.
Why don't you move there, Captain?
Well, why should I move there? The state is the one who sucks.
Because you're free riding.
What is that supposed to mean?
But anyways,
Free riding. Twice you've accused us of that, and would you like to explain?
You need to explain that.
So by not moving there, it shows that you value the national defense that U.S. provides over a free currency.
No,
it doesn't.
No, it certainly does not.
You're the one
who... The U.S. Actually provides a negative national defense. It causes me to be in more danger than I would be if it were not there.
Yeah, you're the one who calls in to defend how much you love the U.S. government's national defense. The reason why I would say, and I can't speak for these two guys, first of all, I can't leave. I'm under threat and duress. So, but if I could leave, I wouldn't move to Argentina right now because they haven't had this libertarian revolution yet. It just is a potential future for them. I would want to see some progress before I would decide to move there. What about you guys?
Yeah, the same. I mean, as we're looking forward, there is a very strong possibility that cryptocurrency will become completely legalized in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens and New Hampshire remains part of that, then I will have to leave one way or another.
Right. We've all shown the propensity to be willing to move for more liberty. That's why the three of us are here in New Hampshire. We migrated here.
I already made my move. I'm not done doing the work that needs to be done here with regards to that. So what have you done, Skeeter, to forward liberty, other than call us and be annoying?
I'm making myself rich.
Huh?
I'm making myself rich off the backs of people who want to loan money to the U.S. government. That's what I'm doing. Hopefully,
you're making yourself rich off the backs of people who want to loan money to the U.S. government. What does that even mean?
Yeah, so I'm paying taxes so I can free ride National Defense. That doesn't make me a hypocrite, though, because
I don't think that answered captain's question.
It actually is. If you
how are you making yourself rich off of the backs of those people?
Well, my question is, what have you done to forward freedom?
Because there are a lot of things that National Defense provides that you don't directly see, just like a good business environment, easy capital, right?
So I mean, you seem to be under the mistaken impression that we are being provided defense.
Hang on, what's that? What did you say there, Peekless? He's not listening. He's just rambling.
Of course.
Yeah, he seems to be under the mistaken impression that we are receiving defense from the United States federal government, when, in fact...
Well, that's what the department's called. It must be true.
Yeah, I mean, the blowback that causes puts me in way more danger than I would be in if they would leave us alone.
Like what?
At present, I'm at risk of being annihilated in a nuclear war and would not otherwise, except for the United States Department of Defense.
Why hasn't Russia sent a nuke our way, then? Is it because our national defense scares them?
God is good. Beats me, man.
Well, nuclear proliferation has done a pretty good job over the years of stopping even psychopathic presidents from hitting the launch button, because they themselves would be in some jeopardy.
Yeah,
but for example,
Argentina is not at risk of being annihilated by Russia.
How many minutes of sleep have you lost over fear of nuclear attack?
Dude, I grew up in the 80s, bro. Everybody was afraid of the nukes, man. Like, oh my gosh. Like,
I've heard it.
The whole reason that Gen X, if you will, had the attitude of live for today because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring was a direct result of the threat of nuclear annihilation.
It's worth noting he never answered your question, Captain.
He never does.
Well, I did get an answer out of him the other day, and I don't know if you even want to thank him for the call. But I did get an answer out of him wherein I asked him what he was doing, and he said he was voting.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's how he's going to bring about that. I asked him what he was doing to bring about his accelerationism, vision, right? He wants to accelerate the government to its maximum tyranny, its maximum size, its maximum expense. And I asked him what he was doing to facilitate that acceleration, and he said he was voting. So we can expect him to have zero effect on absolutely anything in the future.
Well, and voting for more government in California.
Yeah, it's inevitable. You can just sit back and do nothing.
Wouldn't you know it? I'm doing exactly as much as he's doing.
Oh, you're doing it.
And also all of the things that I'm actually doing.
Yeah.
So the thing for me with Argentina, though, is, I mean, obviously this is a response to them having the over 100% inflation rate.
But you mean the vote for Javier Milei?
Yes, exactly.
Of course it is. Yeah, people are hurting.
Yeah, the vote for Javier Milei, the sudden prominence of the Libertarian Party after such a short period of time. So since that's happening now here, I think that this is a sign of things to come. So, like, yeah, right now, they're sort of at the bottom of the pack. They have the worst inflation. But, I mean, we are seeing the demolition of the entire global economic system right now. Mm-hmm. And sure, it will probably take a lot of countries down before it takes the U.S. down. And in that process, we're going to see country after country after country who moves in the same direction as Argentina.
Yeah, I see Argentina as sort of like Greece 2. not the movie. But Greece, the country, where, you know, they're seeing things that resemble hyperinflation, right? You know, the people are beginning to hurt.
But didn't Greece just get a bailout from the EU?
Still, there was a period of time where everything was just sort of up in the air and, like, people were hurting and, you know, their paycheck could only buy something that day and they had to spend it before it was worthless tomorrow, that kind of a thing. So at least this time, at least someone, this Javier guy, is speaking up, right? And probably vicariously a whole bunch of people who voted for him, at least in this primary, are also, you know, getting their voice heard. Going back to Skeeter for just a moment, all Skeeter's doing is using the violence of the state for his own personal benefit, if what he says is true, right? That's all that he's doing. And that in and of itself is a violation of the NAP.
the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, I think he really illustrates the difference between the two approaches of life. So you can either attempt to impose your view on others, as right. Skeeter does. Now, with us, he, of course, doesn't have the violence to do it. I'm sure he would use that if he had the violence to do it. But instead of having a conversation. And those are really your only two options.
Yeah.
You can either impose your view on others, which can at least initially be done verbally, where you go, no, this is right, and, you know, use rhetoric to sway them whether or not it's logically true.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, that always devolves into aggressive violence mm-hmm. in order to cause people to forcibly come around to your way of saying things. Or you can have a conversation where we acknowledge the differences between our narratives and our perspectives and then hash out exactly what those differences are and why, which leads not only to the possibility of one of us changing our mind, but to us coming to new conclusions entirely that neither of us had before.
I spoke about growing up in the 80s, and one of the things that I remember about that was there was this repetitive narrative. Somebody would be wronged in some sort of way, and then somebody would get some press about it, and then that somebody would get some assistance from, you know, some sort of an organization, a political organization, and they would, you know, write up some sort of a law, and then it would get named after whatever the tragedy was that happened to that person, mm-hmm. and then they'd get more press, and that would be hailed as a success story.
Right.
When in fact... and this is repeated in several different ways, and it's still being repeated today, just in different ways in many different states and in the United States as well. It's still happening. But essentially what that is what you described. It's somebody who isn't willing or able to provide the violence themselves, outsourcing that to the government to force their opinion on other people.
Right.
Javier Milei interviewed by Bloomberg. It's in a Spanish language, but they do have a guy here who's doing the vocal translation for us. And one of the questions we had about Javier and his plan to abolish the central bank was, is he going to need the Congress, or their equivalent of that, what do they call the deputies, I think, there in Argentina.
The Chamber of Deputies.
Is he going to need them to do it? And the answer is yes. He is going to, presuming he's elected the president, which we won't know for another couple months, but presuming he's elected, he will come to office with a bill in hand, and like the first thing he does is going to be handing down a bill to the deputies and say, look, here's the bill that I want to see passed to abolish the central bank. You guys do your thing. And you guys hearing something out there? Looks like a car alarm going off. Anyway, what he said, the next question from the questioner here is, well, okay, what if Congress doesn't do it? Because you pointed out, Peakless, that there's going to be a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. It's going to be obvious that this guy, his number one issue is ending the central bank, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's his – he's pounding that more than anything else. So you can't always say why someone votes for another person, right? Like, right. a lot of people just vote for somebody because they're not the other guy, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people voted for Donald Trump because he wasn't Hillary Clinton and vice versa. So we don't know why 30% of the people of Argentina voted for him in the primary.
Sure.
But it's not – you're not going too far out of range to say a lot of those people probably like his idea of dollarization of the economy and abolishing the central bank, because dealing with the inflation is a day-to-day problem that these people have. So I don't think it's going too far out on a limb to say that. So here's the next question that he gets asked. I'm going to play the audio from Bloomberg here.
What would you do if the Congress says no?
I will plebiscite it.
And move forward?
No, I'll leave it to the will of the people so that the Congress can explain them why it does not want them to choose which currency to have.
And what would you...
So plebiscite, long word, it essentially means he's going to put it to a question, a voting ballot question to the people. Now, again...
So it's like a ballot initiative kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know if he has the ability to just do that. From the way he said that, it made it sound like he could just, you know, wave a wand and put this question on to the next ballot.
Right.
Or maybe even have a special election to ask this one question of, do you want to see the central bank abolished? Because then you'll know for sure
right,
what people want. You don't have to just extrapolate and say, oh, well, they voted for you. That doesn't mean they want to abolish the central bank. So that's his plan right now, is to let the Congress do it on their own volition, or let the people vote on it, and then let the Congress try to explain to them why they're wrong, why they should keep the central bank around.
Right. And I think this is a great way to sort of end run around one of the perpetual problems of politics, that if you fix one problem, they have caused five problems while you fixed that one problem.
Mm-hmm.
But with something like a central bank, all of their problems come back to this one thing.
Right.
So all of these other problems that they've caused, if you solve this one problem, you can solve more problems than they can create in that time. And that's almost impossible to do otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, follow the money, right? A lot of people hear this, right? It's a popular trope, popular meme, follow the money. If you actually follow the money when it comes to politics, it really always comes back to central banking. Right, something that is not necessary. I would argue that it wasn't necessary in the first place. There are arguments that say, well, you know, society didn't have the ability and we needed these monolithic structures for a while just to get to a point where we could, you know, build decentralized
networks. No, it was never necessary for the people. It was necessary to the people who want to steal from them. That's right. What the central bank does, and that's what it's always been there for. It's always been a mechanism to extract wealth from the populace. I mean, that's it. I mean, this goes all the way back to where they were clipping coins before there was printed money. They had actual, you know, silver or gold coins,
yep.
And the king would have them clipped to still make them mostly passable. People would still accept them, even though they weren't the full weight, and they would then take the extra gold, melt it down, and make more coins. So it was a rudimentary form of inflation in the old days.
Of course, debasing it by making it an amalgam, by mixing another metal.
Putting in garbage pot metal or whatever into it, which they do now, by the way, in the U.S. coinage, which used to be 90% silver before 1965, I believe it was. It was 1964, yep. I think, was the last. Year
actually,
of
I got paid in some silver coinage at Pork and Fork.
Sweet.
This year.
Nice. Silver dimes? Or
dimes. I got several dimes and I think one quarter.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
Back when those things were worth something.
So they went in my safe.
And those are still worth something because they're real silver, and at least 90% of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the fun things. There's a bunch of comparisons of, well, If you take each dollar, comparing old versus new, if you take, well, they were only paid $2 an hour, and it's like, well, $2 was worth 4 quarter ounces of silver.
Mm,
right.
Or, sorry, 8 quarter ounces of silver.
So 2 ounces.
So that's like, what, 80 bucks an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, so $2 an hour in silver is 80 bucks an hour now. So,
that's huge.
They were only paid this much. Well, do the conversion and see what it actually is.
That's a great point.
Right.
Good.
I was just going to say my point about the central banking is that it's time for it to end, period.
There's
no reason for it to exist.
Well, and the other thing is,
other than to create empires.
What he's doing here is not original in that, I mean, it's original in that he's a libertarian, but the idea of ending the central bank has been done before. I mean, you talked about El Salvador, for instance. He mentions Ecuador in this particular video. And part of the video we're not going to play for you, but I'll link to it on our social media over at social.freetalklive.com on the @FTL account if you want to catch this full interview. But he talks about like how El Salvador went about the process of dollarizing their economy and how Ecuador went about the process of doing that and, like, you know, how they kind of screwed it up a little bit or whatever. And he gets into some of the details. But the point is, this is not the first time that such a thing has been done. El Salvador had their own central bank. They had their own central currency, and that is gone now.
Yeah.
So it can occur, and the countries that do this are better off economically than otherwise.
Yeah, they're with El Salvador, and I don't know what the status is right now, but it seems to me that there was a brief period of pain, a learning curve, if you will, for them, and then it all just settled down, and now it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say things are fine in El Salvador, but
I'd say, well, for
more
El Salvador,
fine than they were previously.
They're economically, they're better off,
right?
Than they were.
Economically, they're better off. Criminally, they're better off. I mean,
that's what I wanted to talk about next. Was what the dictator in El Salvador has done over there with the criminal situation, because the question that Malay is going to be asked here next in this Bloomberg interview is about crime. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a terrible economy, you have poor people. And when you have mm-hmm. poor people, you have desperate people.
Yep.
And when you have desperate people, you've got people getting robbed in the streets in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm extrapolating that. I have not done research on Argentina and their situation with crime, but knowing how things have gone in other countries in similar circumstances, Venezuela, for instance, where if you walk down the street with your phone in your hand, somebody's going to snatch it out of your hand, right? Like there's all kinds of daylight robberies going on in these very, very poor places. And so he does get asked this question, and I'm going to go ahead and give him the opportunity to answer it here.
We want to make a serious fiscal adjustment.
Okay, here it comes.
Let me ask you about the crime problem, because it is a very important issue in the campaign in Argentina, but also in some other Latin American countries. What is your plan?
To begin with, the area of security and defense will be under the supervision of Victoria Villarroel. She's the specialist in these matters. The most important problems in Argentina, either in the economy or in terms of inflation and growth or insecurity, she will have direct influence over two ministries, the Ministry of Internal Security and the Ministry of National Defense. What we are promoting there is to change the way of looking at the problems. There is a new doctrine in terms of security, which is that he who does it pays for it.
Okay, so he's going to get a little bit more into it, but that is the basic concept. It sounds like, and the interviewer just kind of moves on after this. He's got a few more sentences, which I'll play, but it sounds like he's talking about restitution here. It sounds like he's talking about changing from a punitive system to a system of restitution. And tell me if you feel the same way after he who does it pays for it, right? Normally, in the crime and punishment system that we have and most countries around the world have, it's the taxpayers who pay for it, right? The taxpayers, he who does it, if they get caught, if that person gets caught, goes into a prison cell, that then the taxpayers, including the victim of that individual, are then forced to pay $30,000, $40,000, $70,000 a year or whatever it is in your state to keep that person housed for X number of years.
Right.
So in that case, the victim is victimized twice, first by the criminal, second by the criminal gang known as the government that forces the victim to pay for the criminal and keep them alive in the cell. So let's go on. Here's what he says.
What is called here Zafferanism, which reverses the position and considers that the victim is the victimizer and vice versa, is over. For us, the victim is the victim, and the victimizer has to pay. Criminals pay the penalties for what they do. That implies a reform of the internal security system or a reform of the national defense law, the intelligence law, the law that has to do with the penal code, and what has to do with the prison system, in such a way that whoever does it actually pays for it.
So he's talking about what sound like pretty significant criminal justice reforms here. And to me, this one topic deserves an entire interview. He doesn't get that in this particular case. It's just one quick question in the midst of a variety of other questions.
Yeah.
But that is something I would really love to hear him expand upon and find out what he means when he's talking about whoever does it actually pays for it.
Right.
That sounds like restitution to me. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join the show here on Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Hurricane Hilary has been downgraded to Category 3, but forecasters warn it's still a dangerous storm. The latest update from the National Hurricane Center puts Hilary about 235 miles west-southwest of the Baja Peninsula in Mexico, with sustained winds about 125 miles per hour. the U.S. is entering a new three-way partnership with South Korea and Japan.
I want to thank you for your leadership, and I say it again, for your courage that brought us together. I look forward to working with both of you ahead.
President Biden on Friday announced historic actions to increase cooperation between the Indo-Pacific nations. The FBI is looking for a Florida Proud Boy who failed to appear in federal court for sentencing. Christopher Worrell was convicted on 7 counts stemming from his actions during the January 6th riot. Prosecutors are asking for 14 years in prison, citing his lack of remorse. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Live Saturday show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We've been talking about Argentina and the very exciting campaign by a gentleman named Javier Milei for president down there. Normally, I wouldn't describe any politician as exciting in any way, shape, or form, but this guy evokes a lot of Ron Paul. He seems to be the, you know, a young Ron Paul in Argentina, and he's in his early 50s. He's a well-spoken, passionate. You described his passion earlier tonight, Captain.
Yeah, a very emoting speaker. Like, we all see politicians here in the United States. You see Donald Trump and Barack Obama and Biden, and they're reading from teleprompters, and you can tell they've been coached, and they have this sort of pseudo-monotone voice going on, right? They never speak off the cuff.
They speak like politicians.
Right.
There's a very, very particular way of speaking. It's a little bit hypnotic, and it's particular to politicians.
Yeah, and if you watch Milei speak, even in a translated video, just watch his expression, watch the movement of his mouth, and that kind of a thing, and you can see he's not reading from anything. He's speaking
from the heart,
or at least from his mind,
right.
And he's speaking with great passion. Now, I mean, it can be said that some of the greatest crimes of states have been caused by passionate speaking fellows, and that's certainly true, but I would prefer to see somebody able to speak off the cuff, particularly about freedom.
Yeah, and economics.
And economics, than to have, oh, well, you know, I'm reading off the teleprompter and I'm pointing my thumb in your direction because my aides tell us that this is the least offensive way to point at the screen.
Say all of the things that the polling has shown that we should say so we can get the most votes. That's what politicians tend to do. So I want to talk more about Javier Milei, what he's talking about with criminal reform, because he's obviously, as you're running for president, there's a lot more problems than just the central bank. There are all kinds of issues, and crime is one of them.
Completely off of that, I just wanted to put one more thought out there, that with every single country that ends their central bank, so if we end up in a situation where there is this like global central bank digital currency system that's running, every country that doesn't have a central bank is going to be a hole in that system.
Yeah,
and it's going to be that much more difficult to implement that level of control.
So before we get back into Javier Milei, I do want to talk about Dash. It is a cryptocurrency that focuses on being used for spending. Dash was something that a lot of the people in Venezuela, as I understand it, turned to because the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization did a lot of outreach down there. They've been focusing for years on Latin American outreach because of situations like Argentina, where the central bank is devaluing the currency at such a rapid clip, it opens people's minds up to alternatives. Right now, if you go around and tell people you've got an alternative to the U.S. dollar, they're still not going to really care that much because they haven't yet really figured out that it's the culprit. In places like Argentina and Venezuela, they figured it out because in a lot of cases, you can't even, you know, you could use it for toilet paper more effectively than actually going out and buying things with it in many cases. So in a situation where the national currency is being hyperinflated, the people are open to an unusual extent to alternatives. And that is where cryptocurrencies like Dash can come in, because Dash focuses on being actually spendable. A lot of cryptocurrencies, that is not their goal. They do not care about being spent at all. There's some sort of techno wizardry going on. Maybe they're doing something cool, but it's not about using it for buying and selling. Dash is doing that. And they're also instant transactions, irreversible. They're protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their chain locks technology. Dash has been around for a long time. It's one of the first, I think, 15 cryptocurrencies to have ever been created.
One of the OGs.
Yep. It's widely available on exchanges, and it's now on the decentralized Maya protocol, which is a decentralized exchange. And it's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. So just before the break, we played a clip of Javier Milei, the Libertarian candidate who's leading right now. He is the winner of the Argentinian presidential primary. And he is being interviewed all over the place. Bloomberg is interviewing him in this particular clip where they asked him about the crime problem. It's not all about the economy. It's about, you know, what's going on besides that. And, of course, bad economy leads to more crime. So fixing the central bank can certainly help with that, no doubt about it. But you still have gangbangers or whoever that you got to deal with.
Right.
And for right now, with a centralized government system, how is he going to change or propose that system be changed to become more effective? And he starts talking about whoever does it actually pays for the crime.
Oh, what a concept.
Right. That, to me, sounds like he's talking about restitution.
Yeah.
Which would be a drastically different proposal than what we're seeing going on in other Central and South American countries, specifically El Salvador. It's also in the news about Honduras as well, which we can talk about here in a moment. But I just played a clip for you guys during the break because I'd asked you, Captain, if you'd seen any of the video from El Salvador. This was published 5 or 6 months ago. It's published. It was actually published by the government of El Salvador, by Nayib Bukele, who is this sort of backwards hat-wearing dictator down there. He's a president, but he apparently has been planning on running for another presidential term, which would be against the Constitution, but he's going to do it anyway because he stacked the court, and there's like all this, you know, kind of corruption going on down there. He plays it off. He plays himself off as this like cool Bitcoin guy, and he's the cool dictator guy. You want to be on his good side, because if you're not, he'll send his thugs after you and do who knows what. So what they've been doing is they've been rounding up thousands and thousands and thousands of people and putting them into a prison. And you saw some of the prison in this footage. It is a brand new facility designed to hold 40,000 people.
That's like, I don't even know.
That's the population of a small city.
Yeah, for sure.
It is a, and by the way, it's not going to be 40,000 like two to a cell, okay? This is going to be like 10 guys in a cell for four, right?
Right.
They're going to be packing them in and are packing them in like sardines into this prison. So this is being touted. And Pekos, I don't know how familiar you are with this because you kind of made reference to some of the successes of some of these other countries like El Salvador. And this is being touted as a big success. A lot of conservative-leaning people, the tough-on-crime types. Not to say that Democrats don't do that, too. They do that as well. But you tend to hear it more from the conservative types. Well, we're going to get tough on crime.
Well, and what I think is happening is that the change in the monetary system and the change in the wealth of that country is what's actually doing most of the bringing down of crime.
And well, that's what he's saying.
That is not what he's saying. He's saying that his draconian, tyrannical maneuvers are what's really bringing down the crime because it's all gangs, and by just arresting everyone who looks like they're in a gang,
right. We
have solved the problem. And what I think is really happening is just that people aren't so desperate that they're engaging in as much crime.
Yeah, there's people need to realize that politicians often take credit for things that they had no hand in doing. They put no effort into, they spent no time on, they put no capital towards, they put no effort into at all. But, man, when it's time to take credit, there they are.
Well, I would love to believe what you're saying, Pekos Mountaineer, about the economic circumstances having improved over there. But keep in mind that from the time when El Salvador adopted Bitcoin as a quote-unquote legal tender, it has gone down in price pretty significantly. It was like, you know, $40,000, $50,000 at the time when that happened. They bought
really
a bunch of it. If I recall correctly, it was somewhere in that range. And, of course, it is now less than $30,000. Yeah. So at least from the government's perspective, which they did take taxpayer money and they bought thousands or something, hundreds or thousands of Bitcoin over the last, you know, couple of years. And so far, at least on the price of Bitcoin, that hasn't really worked out for them. When you actually get into the
expect that they're still buying.
They are.
Right.
Peso dollar or peso cost averaging?
But when they have a dollar there. But when you go and you actually talk to the people of El Salvador and you find out, all right, what's really happening with the Bitcoin situation down there? Are businesses taking Bitcoin? Is anyone spending? Are you using Bitcoin? And you can actually go and talk to people, and at least from the limited amount of media that I've seen on this particular topic, it doesn't appear that this has taken off in any way, shape, or form. So I don't think that you can say, and I don't know if this is what you were saying.
Oh, what I'm saying is that this has generated an enormous amount of buzz in a very wealthy community of people who love Bitcoin.
And so they're visiting.
Exactly. So I think this has cranked up the tourism.
I think that's
true. So you have a tremendous amount of money moving from not only the United States but around the world of the very rich Bitcoin billionaires moving there, putting their money into Argentina, spending it as any tourist would, and that has put so much wealth into the country that even though it hasn't really changed how the ordinary person is doing their moves, it's put so much money into it that it's made people much less desperate.
I hope that is true. If you are down there and you've got, you know, actual insight into this issue, we'd love to hear from you at 603-283-6160.
Well, it certainly has created economic opportunity for entrepreneurial-spirited people.
In tourist areas, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That didn't exist before.
But
In tourist areas, there's also certain financial things that are available because the country is embracing Bitcoin.
There's some new investments, yeah.
Right. So you have like a country-backed loan, essentially, that you are giving them in Bitcoin. That is a completely new
technology.
They're
going to build that Bitcoin city and have Bitcoin mining through volcano power. Or there's this big project, and I wouldn't give them a dime because you're voluntarily giving your money to the government. And this is not a good government. And this is the point I wanted to make here. Even though there may be more tourists coming in, even though there may be more tourist money coming in, and that may be helping some people in El Salvador, they haven't ended the war on drugs. And those tourists, they want to buy drugs too, just like a lot of people want to buy drugs. And because they haven't ended the war on drugs, that still gives the gang something to do. It gives them a product to push, and the gangs are going to do the way they always do with drugs. They're going to fight. They're going to kill each other, and innocent people are going to get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
So that has not stopped.
Right.
And so, of course, that gives him being Bukele, the president of the country, the reason to crack down in this mega factor where they're literally just rounding people up on the accusation, as you pointed out, Peakless, on the simple accusation that you are in a gang. And, Captain, you got a bald head, and that may be enough to accuse you of being in a gang. If you look like you're in a gang, that's enough for these people. If somebody says something about you being in a gang in an anonymous tip, that in many cases has been enough for the country's goon squads to come in, round you up,
take you away. Red flag laws.
Except it's your body that they're taking away. Mm-hmm. They take you into this prison, and you saw the imagery, right? Like there are thousands of guys who look the part, right? Like, these look like gangbangers, okay? I get the point. They look that way. They got, like, full-on body tattoos. Their heads are tattooed. Like, these are some scary mofos. Imagine you just got accused by your old tenant or, you know, your ex-girlfriend or whatever, ex-wife of being in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cops just come and they grab you up and they take you into this prison. And by the way, you don't get a trial. They've suspended constitutional rights for these people. So you're just going to go away until ? And they're going to just hold you there.
So outside of the process of all of this, how is that different than any other government?
Well, at least in the United States, you have the purported right to face your accuser. You have the right to a trial. We know the trials are stacked, and we know the system is terrible, but at least you will see the light of day in some way, shape, or form.
People have been disappeared by all sorts
of course they have.
Organizations.
So, of course they have.
So sent into faraway places and whatever.
So what? You're upset at their lack of marketing for their government?
Well, actually, their marketing here is doing very well for them, at least amongst the conservatives, because the crime, punishment, harsh it up kind of conservative types, they are salivating over these videos of seeing these men being abused in these camps, these prisons, because they want that to happen here in the United States. They want people to be rounded up, thrown into prison, screw the trial, send them to the execution chamber because some government guy said they did a thing. And that's basically, without the execution chamber part, in El Salvador, that is what is going on. They're just rounding people up wholesale by the thousands. You are lucky if you are ever seeing the light of day again after this. There are some stories of people who managed to hire enough lawyers to get their loved one out of jail because they were wrongfully accused. But some people they don't even know where their dad is. You know, maybe dad was involved in a gang. When he was a teenager, he reformed his ways and, you know, started a family and started being a responsible member of society. Well, because he was involved, he still knows people, and we're going to take him, right?
So the problem then is that they've switched marketing campaigns from, we're good people and you have rights, to, we will keep you safe.
Well, they're not keeping you safe if you're accused of being in a gang.
Well, of course they're not. They weren't respecting my rights either. They're a government.
No doubt.
That's what they do, is violate human rights.
Are you saying this is a better approach?
No, I'm saying it's a lateral move. Like, every government
does nonsense
like this.
There's way more people being locked
like
up
this.
Right now. I wouldn't call that a lateral move. This
way,
is a,
way more people.
This is way more aggression.
Way more people than prior.
Than previously.
In this country.
Like in El Salvador.
In El Salvador. And so
that's what he's bragging about. I mean, the president is going out there and bragging and saying,
sure,
I'm the one cleaning up the streets. Look at what I'm doing. He's making these like Hollywood level edited videos. You didn't get to see that here. This was a news report just because I had to look quickly. But if you were to find his post from 6 months ago on Twitter, he has his own Twitter account. He goes off on various different things. Sometimes he's entertaining when he's talking about Bitcoin. But when he's talking about this, it's just absolutely terrifying.
So you wish they'd go back to pretending to respect human rights?
No, I would like to see maybe what something like Javier Milei is talking about here, where the criminals are actually required to pay compensation to their victims to make things right. If they broke a thing, fix the thing, and then give them some money on top of that. If you hurt somebody, you got to pay their hospital bills and then pay for the difficulties that their families went through and whatever. And if you're in jail, you got to pay to keep yourself there, that kind of thing. Like to actually hold these people accountable for their actions and at the same time end the war on drugs, of course, because if you end the prohibition, then you take the primary product that these gangs are trafficking and you make it legal, and then anybody can go to the OXXO or whatever and buy themselves some marijuana or some cocaine.
I'm curious as to the incarceration rate of El Salvador versus the incarceration rate of the United States.
I don't know it.
We got them beat.
I assume so, because the United States has been incarcerating people at a rate has been unrivaled in all of history. Mm-hmm. Literally, prisons are continuously being built, and more people are getting tossed into prison for reasons, nonviolent crimes, which creates a slave class in the prisons. And it sounds to me like El Salvador is taking a page from the U.S. playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And amping it up. It's definitely amped up here, for sure.
Yeah, they've taken... So there's something that America has, to my knowledge, always done wrong in terms of justice. So an effective system of actually acquiring justice would require that, hey, if I accuse you of something that you're innocent of, I get punished for making the accusation.
Right.
I am harming you. I am destroying your life. I am putting you in jeopardy. I have acted against you. I need to be punished for making that accusation. I mean, this is not a new concept. This has been done for thousands of years and somehow has managed to be absent from our system. They're taking that same violation and expanding it. So not only does the accuser not face any penalties, but we will just assume that you are right because you made the accusation.
Mm-hmm.
So we will automatically punish the person as if they are guilty of what you've accused.
There's news in relation to this from Honduras, because apparently they saw what El Salvador did and said, ooh, me too, and decided to do the same exact thing. We'll share that with you, but first we go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Hello? Anonymous caller on the line.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. Ian, I'm right here.
Yes, you are.
Okay, the beep sounded different than usual. I usually did that. Anyway, let's get on with the call.
Let's do it, yeah.
I've been listening to you for a long time. This is Bobby from Florida.
Hey, Bobby.
I was wondering, before we get to our, do you have that website where Aria has to for her, for the letters and for the, and for the commentary?
Sure. You're referring to our co-host, Aria DiMezzo, who is currently in prison in the United States in what they call a prison camp.
Speaking of which.
In the federal system in Massachusetts, she is now coming up on not quite 7 or 8 weeks, but getting close, almost 2 months. And 1 week will be 2 months for her in there. And a 18-month sentence. And she would love to receive letters from you or anybody else who's listening. You can go to her website, ariadimezzo.com. That's ariadimezzo.com. I'm told the information is also at thecrypto6.com, but I have not verified that personally. It's definitely up at ariadimezzo.com. There's an address there.
That's where I got it from.
Yeah, there's information about how to contribute to her commissary account, should you wish to do that as well.
How to write her letter, send her a book, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep, and she has been getting donations and books and... she's doing as well as can be in there, unfortunately, due to, I don't even know how to explain it. She's not in a place where she feels like she wants to call into the show to talk about what's been happening. She doesn't want to put herself in any more, you know, potential jeopardy from the Bureau of Prisons, who are her captors. But that said, she is communicating on a regular basis. Bonnie and I typically get emails from her every day or every other day.
But, amazing. Okay, yeah. I got that down now. Also, you know, I've loved this show, especially in the past 10 years, and the freeness of being able to call and say whatever you want. And over the years, you know, you've taught me a lot of things, and you know, it's really amazing to see somebody that's true to, you know, what they believe. You know, there's not very many people out there that are like that and watching. And a lot, you see a lot of these, like, rappers, and they're fake rappers, but every now and then there's a real one. You know, and there's a lot of people that talk the game and they don't do it, but Ian proved that no matter thick or thin, whatever you want to think about all the drama, That's respect, brother. And that's cool, man. I like that.
Thank
also,
you for that, Bobby.
But I was, yeah. And what else? You know, the government intrusion we were talking about a little bit earlier, they have gotten so bad. So like when I, you know, when I was wanting to get on my feet a little bit, I had a buddy and his grandpa had his zero turn mower. And, anyway, so I had the idea, you know, let's just start a little, you know, mowing business. We'll get some, get started and we can get some, you know, better stuff. And so we started doing that around the neighborhood and, you know, they had, you know, professional guys that did it, you know, crews and stuff, but we were coming in asking how much they were paying to do it. And then we were cutting everything in half.
And how old were you when you did this? I'm sorry.
About 22, 23.
Okay.
Yeah. And we got up to about 5 or 6 lawns. You know, we weren't making a whole lot, but we were bringing in, you know, a few hundreds here, you know, and, it was just starting to pick up and we were actually taking over. But, one day we were out working and then this, it was an SUV, county code enforcement came out and they pulled us out and, they had all this write up and they had all kinds of, I don't know, legal work. And they said that we had to stop and cease,
good Lord. You need a license to cut somebody's lawn.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
The free state of Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, and God. You know, I don't know. I think you know one of those guys. You know those companies. They probably knew that we were cutting in on their business.
You better believe they did. They found out. They lost a client. What happened was they lost a client to you. And they called that client and they said, what do we do? What can we do to get your business back? And they're like, well, these kids are charging me half of what you guys were. I don't think you can get my business back. And they said, oh, yeah? And they called the code enforcement, the thugs. Right.
Yeah.
So instead
another
of.
What happened? We started a bait business. So we were getting shiners. And we weren't doing anything wrong, catching what we could. And we set up, you know, tubs of, you know, to filter them and everything. And we're selling bait shiners, you know, doing everything we could. We're out in the woods. We got lake and stuff. And so we were selling the shiners. Well, I don't know. We had signs up and stuff. We were doing good for about 2 months and not much long after we started cutting into, there was another bait shop on the other side of the lake, you know, but we weren't trying to compete with them. But, you know, I guess they knew people were coming over there and getting the bait with us. And no longer than, I don't know, 2 months, Florida Wildlife came out there and they're going on and everything.
Yeah, this is the same state, by the way, with Ron DeSantis, who is the governor, who cracked down on people who went down there after the hurricane devastated Fort Myers, who wanted to help and put people's homes back together. But if they didn't have a Florida license, they faced arrest just for trying to help people out. Thanks for the call, Bobby. We got more coming up.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.